Hello, and welcome to this audio spillage from the strange world of Shadowplay. Now firmly reinstalled in the UK, I thought I'd try and relieve a bit of drudgery from late autumn England and bring you a podcast with a little bit of spice. While I say podcast, I'm cringingly going to play on words and reveal it's an oddcast, a foray into the weird and wonderful world of music and beyond. Far from being an attempt at forced craziness, I'm hoping it's going to be a chance to play a few oddities and hopefully hear a few bizarre ones from you too. On that note, there's no better place to start than my favourite cyber orchestra, featuring the one and only Andy Kershaw. It's Listen with Sarah.
World Wide Web.
Is that on?
It's on the internet.
www.co.uk
World Wide Web.
That was Listen with Sarah with My Little Hula Girl remix, and is dedicated to my lovely friend Sarah, who recently introduced me to the various sides of Glasgow last month. Now, as you can probably guess, I'm a great advocate of radio as a medium, and there are some classic wireless moments out there every month. One hilarious one came this summer when Claudia Winkleman, not usually renowned as a funny woman, I must admit, interviewed Brian Radam, curator of the British Lawnmower Museum in sunny Southport. Listen for yourself.
How many lawnmowers do you have?
Well, we have over 500, and we have on display nearly 200 that we've restored.
Do you like lawnmowers? Have you always liked the idea of mowing lawns?
Well, the older ones, they've got a character of their own. I mean, they've all been hand-built, and they've been lovingly restored. You know, to start them, you have to... Some of them have, like, a crank handle, like the old cars, and they've got propellers that go round on them, and they make a nice sort of relaxing chugging noise and that sort of thing.
I like a chugging noise. So how did you get into it then?
Well, originally my father used to repair lawnmowers in sort of from 1945.
Yeah.
And he really ended up with a big pile of scrap iron in the backyard that really should have all been thrown away because they were too expensive to repair. There was no parts for them and all that sort of thing. And then when we did decide to throw them away, we said, well, perhaps we shouldn't throw this one away. It's been made by Royal Enfield, so we'll restore that one. And this one's been made by Rolls-Royce, so we won't throw that one away.
Do you know of other lawnmower museums?
We're the only lawnmower museum in the world.
Are you? And so who comes? I mean, like, is it keen gardeners or is it people who sort of like engineering?
It's all sorts of people from all different countries. And we've got women come in, solicitors, dentists. We've also got...
Dentists? Wait, Brian, there are people listening going, what shall I do at the weekend? You cannot sell this on the museum that dentists and solicitors quite like.
Well, there's a lot of people who collect lawnmowers, but...
Really?
But they don't often admit it.
Well, quite, yeah.
Say, for instance, you had a collection of lawnmowers at home and you went to the pub and you chatted to your mates and you said to them, oh, you want to come home and have a look at my lawnmowers? They probably wouldn't speak to you.
Brian, you have to stop speaking. Wait, now I understand this. In your head, there's a lot of people out there who've got secret lawnmower collections.
There's lots of people that've got quite a lot of them.
Are there?
Yeah, and they come down, have a look, and you get lots of Americans coming in, and they sort of say, "Is it the Lawnmower Museum?" And they said, "We've just been to Hampton Court and had a look at the lawns there, and now we're going to the British Lawnmower Museum. And after here, we're going across that cute little river to France."
Okay, no, this is good. It's like talking to Alistair McGowan. Now, you've also got a collection of celebrity mowers. I have to say, your list starts brilliantly with royalty, but go ahead, tell me, what celebrity mowers do you have?
Well, we have just recently got in Brian May from the rock band Queen, who we've gratefully accepted.
Great.
And we've got all sorts of gardening tools and things like that from Vanessa Feltz, Nicholas Parsons, Alan Titchmarsh. We've got Jean Alexander, who's Hilda Ogden in from Coronation Street. Joe Pasquale's trimmer, Roger McGough's trowel, all sorts of things.
Brian, I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you. I need to come and find you and give you a cuddle.
I mean, if you know a rich and famous person who would like to donate their lawnmower, we would gladly accept it.
By the way, you're my discovery. You know how sometimes you make a discovery? Like last year for me, it was smooth peanut butter. You are mine this year. So I promise you, anybody who's rich and famous, I will try and get you a gardening tool.
You may well have heard the New Roots Maneuver record by now, Slime and Reason. A lazy, occasionally brilliant album from the frustrating Rodney Smith. It's full of filler, but with some real gems. You may also have heard the excellent lead single, Again and Again, but I thought I'd play you the promo version, complete with the strange, personalised anti-piracy messages, not least to keep the lawyers off my back.
A lot of people don't know about Smith, how I came to the scene and came to uplift. The raggedy statues of righteousness, Pentecostal sun coming from
Slime
the heart.
Reason, the Banana Clan
with every
production.
Breath and every now, we dare not stop burning Babylon down. With every penny, every pound, reflective of the rebel heart and the rebel sound. Dedication to them life and them causes. I did them tours, I settled those scores now. I'm back at the drawing board and I'm sketching out two plans with two crystal balls. I see the future where the culture looks corroded. News a chat, Mike, but them dudes are just posers. I don't know where the soul is, so I'm about to bring that back. Whether we chat, rap, or sing that back, it goes.
Again and again and again, we're hoping to improve, yeah. Again and again and again.
Anytime we chat that ting, you know we back that ting. We just might clap that ting, but we ain't on some boasting about. We gotta make moves, no loafing about. He ain't got no clout, she ain't got no clout. Still they wanna come here, come run up their mouth. They wanna know what maneuver's about. Check my catalogue, you'll see with no doubt. We don't sell out, but we sell a tune or two. Beaten by a wooden spoon or two. But the pain that break me is the pain that make me. And the pain that take me is the pain that help me maintain. Life ting in the frame, you know. We're straight kicking the brain, it go. I don't know where the soul is, so I'm about to bring that back. Whether we chat, rap, or sing that back, it go.
Again and again and again, we're hoping to improve, yeah. Again and again and again, with us a big good maneuver, Lord. Again and again and again, we're hoping to improve, yeah. Again and again and again, with us a big good maneuver, Lord.
Food, well, clothes, well, hairstyle, well, skin, well, shoes, well, bangles, and pearl. Wow, baby, yeah, baby. Or just roll, spun over, talk,
down the town. So watch all the people, say they come for gather round. For anywhere we go, we have them under control. For don't you know, yes, we met the good time roll. Hey, yes, Ruth Manova, you're in a concert. For anytime we come, so we get with money.
Get them funny, so get them crazy, not get them to feel to feel.
Again, every massive on your toes, every massive on your toes. For the watch you never know, cause we tell you so. For Ruth Manova, yes, we started the show. We know, oh,
again and again and again, we come feeling good, yeah.
What do you
again and again and again, we just a big group maneuver, Lord. Again and again and again, we come feeling good, yeah.
What do you
Mika P. Henson has released one of the most startlingly perfect albums of the year so far, in Mika P. Henson and the Red Empire Orchestra. I caught up with the rusty-voiced Texan before his gig at The Social in Nottingham, and began by asking him about his ongoing back troubles.
What happened is I had the lowest disc in my back exploded, and all the stuff from inside was pushing against my sciatic nerves in my back, and so my legs were going numb, and all sorts of stupid shit. So I had a surgery, and that was a failure. And then now, I guess the next step, when I get home, they're going to put this contraption in my back that basically uses electricity to trick your mind that you're not feeling pain. Which sounds a bit too high-fi and it's all Star Trek and shit. But it's been going on for a while.
I asked Mika how he felt about his repeatedly romanticized and dramatized personal life, often appearing as some kind of homeless ex-con drug addict in the media.
I think I'm a firm believer that if my personal life hadn't have been brought up at the first and still isn't brought up today, I think my career would look differently. I think in the end, it sounds cliched and bullshit, but I think I try to play music for the people to a certain degree. And if you're going to play to the people, then it has to be personal, because you're wanting to involve their personal lives. You're wanting to sing and speak about things that a million people across the world have felt or said to themselves. I think personal things, I think it's important to talk about. I think it's pretty rad. I mean, they've been talking a lot lately about how I got married and stuff like that, and I don't really like that, because it'll fend off the horrors and that kind of stuff. Not that there was always...
You get a lot of propositions.
I'm not going to answer that.
Fair enough.
Maybe half of what you read about me is true. It's really strange. It's really strange to actually have interviews with people and to try to set the record straight, and then you read articles and they've completely gone the opposite direction. And it's like, well, I fucking told you this is how it was. I wasn't in jail for that long, and then you read that I was in jail for a couple of months, and it's like you're completely off the fucking...
A couple of days?
Exactly. I mean, I got arrested several times, but it wasn't a long stint. I was never like convicted of murder and spent like 3 years in the pokey and shit. There's a lot of shit.
What else gets put out there that you feel free to set the record straight if you like?
The fact, I guess this began at the very first, but they called, this person that was like a Vogue model and shit. They'd never been in Vogue. And the first record, a lot of people said that it was actually written like about this human being. It wasn't at all. Maybe some songs were written during this time frame, but they definitely, I wouldn't have wasted my words on that shit. A lot of things just kind of get turned into, kind of legends, just kind of made up stories, and to a certain degree, what are you going to do? I can't call up every fucking journalist and tell them to get it straight, so people will say what they say. I guess the most important thing is that I know the truth.
Henson can play more instruments than the Queen's Brass Band, but I wondered why he ultimately seems to return to the simple acoustic guitar.
I really hate the guitar, to be honest. It's a really frustrating instrument to me. I feel like I really get stuck doing the same shit all the time. But I kind of like that,
Why so?
It's good to not be complacent, I think, and to always know that I could get better and I could get more talent, more skill, or just maybe not talent. I'm not sure how easy it is to acquire talent, but I think getting skill, I think it's quite easy, you know.
Do you think that's the root of why there are a lot of bands who people say are derivatives so very much sound like other bands? Is that because of the limitations of the guitar?
It's the world's most common medium as well.
Maybe, or I think it might even be the fact that people are just lazy.
That was the Bobby McGee's, Brighton's most flamboyant band, with Kafka-esque, an odd satirical song about the conventional routes that whimsy indie boys like me go down. Anyway, I like podcasting as a format, and I'd like to play you a clip from a quick recommendation. It's the weekly cast from film critic Andrew Collins and roly-poly humour hero Richard Herring's podcast. It's done in Richard Herring's attic, in fact. It's called the Collins and Herring Podcast. You can look it up easily. And here's a clip.
Oh my God! What the fuck?
You think it
that
was
bloke?
Yeah.
They go, that bloke was right.
The media were right. That's what they'd have to
but
say.
If it's a really tiny black hole, that's what the scientists might be.
It is. They're really tiny.
If it's really tiny, the scientist could put his cock in it. That's
what
amazing.
They're thinking,
that is what they do. They can't get girlfriends, so they spent £15 billion.
That's what
creating like a star. It looks like Stargate, doesn't it? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
it looks,
mad.
It's just like it's gone
mad.
They didn't have to make it look like that. They've done that because that's what science fiction makes it look like. But then a little black hole, all the scientists in turn can just put their cocks in there.
Is that what they're doing?
Yeah.
Well, they don't get a great deal of those scientists.
They get. Imagine being sucked off by a black hole.
It's Revenge of the Nerds.
Imagine it.
Revenge of the Nerds.
If it was just the right size.
Have you seen out of my bonny land? And are you sure he's weel now? He's gone. Our land with a stick in his hand. He's gone to mow the keel. Yes, I've seen your never lie aside him. Have you seen out of my bonnie lad, and are you sure he's weel? He's gone our land with a stick in his hand. He's gone to Moa, the key.
That was Rachel Unthank and the Winter Set, and it's great to see her traditional northeastern tones finally getting a bit of recognition at this year's Mercury Music Prize nominations. The eventual winners, Elbow, I thought were very rewarding of it. They've made great music for decades, and Guy Garvey currently has the best show on radio. Check it out, Sunday nights on Radio 6 Music. Now, I thought we'd have a bit of a look around the internet if you're sitting at your nerd box right now. So let me talk you through what's going on online right now. Interestingly, Facebook and MySpace wannabe Bebo is broadcasting an episodic soap called The Secret World of Sam King. Set in Universal Music's London studios, it's a hilariously staged piece of music industry patheticness, which is admirable only in the fact that it's so cheeky. Sam King is a fictional amalgamation of many of Universal's acts, who are often included in the show itself. It's effectively product placement for humans, and it's really weird. Go to bevo.com/samking for some corporate car crash TV. On a more positive note, do check out Ace Sheffield designers Royal Stock, who create classic line drawing t-shirts and bags for actual people rather than just posers. If you live in the Steel City, their stuff is available at the Old Sweet Shop in Nether Edge, Toast in the Forum, or simply type them in at royalstock.co.uk. You might even find something designed by Shadowplay favourites, Flem Comic. Lastly, I'd like to point you in the direction of Caleb Nealon. The artist from Cambridge, Massachusetts, has an excellent rough and ready site, theartwheredreamscometrue.com, which is a great little artist network featuring some truly groundbreaking work, and if you like your street art from around the globe, it's the place to be. Okay, that's your lot. Thanks for listening. Do comment on the post or email at shadowplayfanzine@hotmail.com. Always great to hear from you, and if you'd like to contribute or collaborate in any way, then you're very welcome. If you haven't already got a copy of the new issue of Shadowplay, featuring reviews of Sonar Festival in Barcelona, Miroslav Tichy, and Jeffrey Lewis, amongst the usual musings, do drop me a line. As usual, I haven't managed to include half of what I'd hoped here, but hopefully there'll be another podcast in the not-too-distant future. And listen out for John Cage's classic, 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds of Silence, after the end of this cast. I'm going to leave you with the only song I could wrap up the Oddcast with, realistically. It's David Bowie with Space Oddity.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. 3, 2, check ignition, 1. And may God's love lift be off with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through the door.
Well, I... I didn't exactly enjoy it. I wouldn't say that, Grandpap, but it was good singing.
Oh, I know it was good.